Hello, my listeners, and welcome to yet another episode, part of my book and my journey to discover and reflect on how can we create a world where leadership beyond genders is in place. And today I'm talking to not only a dear friend of mine, and the number one advisor for the No More Boxes transformational movement. He is a renowned specialist in complex, large-scale, organic organizational change. He's in leadership, he is in mindfulness. And I guess you probably, if you heard me talk about this before, I'm talking about Dr. David Paul, the person that I'm always talking about because I've learned so much from him. And I want to tell you a little bit about him before we dig into the content. Now, David has an extensive experience as an educator, mentor, and coach. He has transformed the lives of leaders across the globe. With his unique blend of problem-solving abilities, people skills, and expertise in business consulting, strategy development, and change management, David empowers senior executives to navigate complex challenges with profound influence and understanding. As a respected lecturer in postgraduate management and leadership programs, David has enlightened over 26,000 MBA and PhD candidates. Sharing his knowledge on complexity, change culture, mindfulness, and leadership, his impact goes beyond the classroom as he has collaborated with organizations like the Beijing Olympic Committee and lectured at respected institutions worldwide. Now, Dr. David is pioneering approach, and his pioneering approach includes incorporating mindfulness since 1990. Now that is well before it gains a mainstream attention. He remains at the forefront of knowledge, constantly exploring the latest research in neuroscience and neuroplasticity. His passion for learning and deep understanding of people enables him to guide senior executives through significant transformations, empowering them to lead with resilience and self-awareness. The Building Resilience and Self-Awareness chapter, which really I want to go deep into our social conditionings. I am so excited to delve into Dr. David's profound wisdom. I know that his insights will inspire us to embrace what we think is complex, cultivate resilience, and harness the transformative power of change. So I welcome you to uncover the secrets to unleashing our full potential in uncertain and challenging environments, regardless of our genders. So welcome, David.
Thank you, Rita. I thought you were talking about somebody totally different hearing that introduction, but that's very gracious and kind of you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me today.
This book wouldn't exist without you. So
thank you.
That's how intertwined it is. I want to start up with a big question. When you think of leadership beyond gender, what does that mean for you?
That is such an exciting question because it almost makes me want to leap out of my chair and go to the year 3000. The reason I'm saying that is because we have come such a long way to 2020s. And I think we're on the verge of literally finding a space where gender no longer matters. Gender matters only because we're conditioned that way. So since birth, you're conditioned to be a girl or a boy, and then it's reinforced in schools, and then it's taught in universities, and then it's you're rewarded in the organizations for the way you behave. So it is part of our upbringing, our culture, our societies, no matter where you are on this planet. But if for once, if we just are able to say, I put aside my conditioning so that I can embrace my gender and other genders, then there is so much hope for our planet. Because in organizations and business, we always say, you know, it's so much better to have different perspectives. But how often do we not accept or entertain other perspectives? Being a male, you know, and this will probably offend a lot of males, but I've got an XY chromosome. I don't have a double X or a double Y. I have one of each. So I do have some feminine and masculine aspects to me, because that's what my DNA says. So to me, for me as a male, to exclude any other gender means that I'm putting aside my humanity. I'm putting aside what's in my DNA. So I'm actually choosing to do that, as opposed to saying I embrace gender. So beyond gender, to me, and I think organizations that embrace this do it so much better. In other words, if you have, and I'm suggesting a very radical approach to this, and that is, have, why don't we have a male and female CEO? Why don't we have a male and female managing director? Why can't we have male and female chair people? Why does it have to be one gender or the other? Because when we go down this route of combining the two, we are generally whole. We are generally whole. So every human being yearns to be in connection with another, in a relationship, in a partnership.
Yeah.
And that's because we yearn to be able to share a perspective that says, what do you think? We long to be able to say, I'm so glad we think alike. Or I'm so glad you taught me something different. Or I'm so glad that I've never thought about that, but thank you for sharing that with me. So beyond gender, to me, opens up a whole new universe of thought, of management and leadership practice that is absent at the moment. And I think unless we are willing to explore this, we will be stuck in a very black and white, good or bad, right and wrong kind of approach, which is so old. You know, we are far better than a robot because we've got this ability to think. So I think gender is a secret weapon that says, let's think beyond it. Let's not be confined by it. Let's not be defined in our little box by it. Let's smash the box and open the box so there are no boundaries, so that as leaders, we can honestly say, I embrace the other, or I embrace all others in decision making. Now, right now, this is the early stages, but right now, everyone will be thinking, oh my gosh, we need one person at the top. Well, let me tell you, how many times have you thought, I can do better than my boss? How many times have you thought, oh my God, I wish my boss would leave, because I know that we can do so much better, simply because we've got other options. And sometimes gender leads us to biases, which we'll talk about further down the track. But your question is a very enlightening one, because unless we move beyond gender, we'll be confined and restricted by the way we think. And our brain is beyond gender. It really is. It's able to think much, much more universally than just one particular way. And it's my choice. It's our choice when we put a gender lens on everything. because let me ask you, if I took all the women away from this world and put them on another planet, we had an all male planet, males would not survive. No way. Because we are really, our DNA is all about, let's work together, live together, unite together to lead this planet to a far greater space than just a gender specific space, a gender specific thinking. And the best decisions ever on our planet have been made together anyway.
That is such a deep, profound wisdom. So like you're saying, you talked about it, we move all women away and all of these gender specific groups that we have. Me being a woman here and been part of tons of women's this and women's that. And I often wondered why we feel that's right or that's normal for gender to come together like that. And when I look at myself and in many groups that I've belonged to, have belonged to, is that and I ask myself, why is that? Why do I want that? In many cases, I think what comes up is I feel safe being in surrounded by people that look like me. And at the same time, when I go deeper into that, I have also noticed the illusion of that safety. Because all the safety is that I'm seeing someone that looks like me. Because in those groups are all sorts of people with all sorts of conditions and all sorts of stories. And I don't relate to all of them. So I sometimes wonder if all of these, you know, as much as I am for people coming together and all of that, I just think that when it becomes a habit just to be with women, as in my case, it is limiting my expansion, getting to know males then, professionals, certain groups. And I just think this combination of things, telling myself, oh, that's so, I trust these people. And then waking up to, well, do I really trust? Or is it just because this is what the social conditioning has taught me is safe for me to do? And is an illusion really in my mind. And I know I'm going deep, deep here, because what would be your answer to that? Why do we do this? Divide us this way?
That's a very good historical question, really. But let me answer that question with another question. What would happen if we only educated one gender and not the other?
Well, that's what's happening right now.
Exactly. What would happen to this planet long term?
Yeah.
Because unless we're all educated, we will never solve the problems that our planet is facing. In fact, we will not even solve the problems that we face in our everyday lives. That we face when something doesn't work. You know, we, for example, when you're driving, how often have you said, oh, that stupid man or that stupid woman? And gender shouldn't come into it,
yeah,
because driving is not gender related as such. You know, the rules are the rules, whether you're a male or a female. Mm-hmm. But you asked a very important question, and that is, why is this divide? Why does it exist? It's because it's our safety net. In the past, when we had a male and a female, we found that if we allocated roles, assigned roles, a male should behave this way and a female should behave this way, we kind of had control over how a population behaved. But the moment you behaved outside of those boundaries, you were punished in some way. People's love, affection, respect were withdrawn from you till you conformed. And on the other side, if you disobeyed the rules of what your gender was supposed to, how your gender was supposed to behave, you were corrected immediately.
Yeah.
That's not how we do things around here, is a very common thing. But more than a control, the second thing is we fear that if we do not belong, we lose something about ourselves. So in other words, if I don't belong to what is a particular gender group, then I'm excluded. And that is one of the worst fears of any human being, is to be excluded, because every human being wants to be included. So you would have felt many times that way when you were not included in a group. You were always on the outside. Or you were ignored in a group. So you're in a group, but you know, they look at each other, but they don't look at you.
Yeah.
They never ask you for what you think. So that's another way of people longing to belong, but don't know what to do when they don't belong, when they're excluded. So gender in all of these, and I'm only giving you two examples, but gender in all these different ways is a way of keeping us in our place. But the funny paradox of all of this is that we're always taught, since you're very little, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You have to fight your gender. You have to fight all the rules.
Exactly. You have to break the rules. Or that, just be yourself. Don't just worry, just be yourself. And you're like, what the? Who am I?
Right. Exactly.
Another thing to worry about. Yeah.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head, because what happens if you are really you?
Yeah.
Imagine the
then
fear.
You're not going to be, the chances are you are going to be breaking all of these. Well, this is not what we do. Well, we're here in our church or in our religion. This is how it's done. Or in our family, we have always been lawyers or whatever. Yeah. Right. So whatever you do, you're going to be facing that. If you're going to be yourself.
Yes, exactly. And the best part about it is when you break the rules, suddenly you realize, I wish I'd done this earlier.
Yeah.
I wish I'd done this sooner. Because
isn't
it gives
true?
You a strength, a confidence, an ability to say, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
To question what I've gone through or what I've been through to get to where I am today. And the only reason I'm here today is because we broke our rules. We broke the way that we were conditioned. And, you know, we break the rules all the time. Let me use I hope it's a famous example, using the United Kingdom. The rule for many centuries was no sovereign sitting on the throne can ever be a sovereign if they marry a divorced person.
Yeah.
And suddenly we can change the rules, break the rules, and all of us have to accept the rule that even though for centuries we had this rule, it's okay today. So we have a sovereign who's sitting on the British throne who has broken centuries old rule. And how is that possible? Because somebody decided it's not so bad. it's okay. It doesn't make a big difference because everybody can live with it. And therefore, we now have a sovereign. Not only is sitting on the British throne who's broken the rule, but also is still the head of a church which said for centuries we couldn't have this.
No, it was impossible.
It was, it's even better.
Yeah, I mean, it was seen as impossible.
Impossible, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So
but now that we see that it is possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, we just had a volcano eruption started yesterday here in Iceland, and you can see how they, you know, the crack opens up and you know, it's 900 meters long. So you see, and you see all of the lava just coming out. And I always see that as, I look at us as human beings with all of those conditions that are, and all these boxes that we put ourselves into, like a Russian doll, box within a box within a box. And then something happened. Some, like, for instance, you see, hey, the sovereign in the UK, actually, they're doing something that was considered to be impossible. And it's like it opened something up and it can go, it goes out and it creates new space for us to then live in. So I think what you just mentioned, yes, something that was considered impossible is now possible, as an example.
Yeah.
And
did it take centuries?
No. It was just like that. Exactly. Such a good example.
And I love the analogy of the lava, because it's because of the lava overflow that we have the most fertile soil on this planet. The best crops grow from where lava has been. And in a wonderful way, I think that brings us back to, why can't we smash these boxes?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we be more inclusive of all these separate boxes?
Exactly.
Why can't we let go for even an hour, a day, a week, a month? Let go of our conditioning and see what life is like.
Well, I just want to go straight into the question. Can we let go of our conditioning? Even we see these things. We see, as an example, here in Iceland, it's just as normal to see a dad with his infant as it is to see a mom with her infant. There's no big deal. Dads are not babysitting their children. They're taking care of them. They're caregivers.
Yeah.
We see this. And yes, in one way we say, yeah, it is gradually and changing, and then another sentence comes in, well, you in Iceland, you're so way ahead of us. And yet it's like it doesn't really embody into people's minds that what that is showing you is that it is in that it is possible. So we have those examples in front of us, and we know that it can change in a split of a second. So how can we do that for ourselves so that we can let go of this conditioning that we think that we have to behave in a certain way, look in a certain way, or be someone because of our gender or for religion or faith or background for that matter, but I'm just thinking gender here.
Those other areas are also critical. But in terms of gender, I always say, if you let go, you will let come. What do I mean by that? So if you let go of something that you've been holding on to for whatever reason, when you let it go, something new, amazing, different comes into your life. And every single human being on this planet would say, yeah, that's happened to me. Because when you let go, a new experience somehow comes into your life. It might be difficult at the time, but more often than not, it brings about a different perspective. And it's like, when you let go of something, it's like a burden has been lifted. And let me talk for a moment about relationships. Cast your mind back to somebody that you were in a close relationship with and you didn't enjoy it. It didn't bring you joy. In fact, your mind was always constantly filled with, oh my gosh, do I have to spend another day, another week here? But the moment you let go of it, whether you wanted to or not, but when you let go of it, something different happened. Something new happened. And how often have you felt that I wish I'd had the courage to let go a little bit earlier? But timing, no matter what happens, timing is always perfect. And we can never choose that time. So in terms of our own gender biases, I think if we just practice for a week, I choose for this whole week to let go of my biases about gender. And I don't mean about being courteous on a bus or a train or a tram or a ferry. I mean literally embracing the thing that upsets you or frustrates you about the other gender. What would happen if you just said, that's irritating me. I wonder what it is about me that irritates me about them. So in other words, nobody can irritate you without your permission. You're allowing it to happen because your irritation is inside your head. You're just blaming something or someone else. And in this particular case, it happens to be a different gender. But what happens when you let go of it? Or even your own gender. What happens if you just let go of that for a week? See what happens. And when I say a week, the way I look at a week is, let's start something on a Monday and finish on a Monday, or let's start on a Sunday and finish on a Sunday. But let's just say it's Wednesday and you gave into it. Well, then your 7 day starts again. So in other words, you actually haven't done it for a week. You've only done it for 3 days. So it really is tough to be able to say for 7 days consistently, I will choose to be gender neutral. Imagine what would happen. Now, a couple of amazing things happens because your brain suddenly goes, how interesting. I am learning some new things. So you're actually literally growing your brain. You're actually literally doing wonders for your brain because your brain, by definition, is there to grow. It's not there to shrink. It's not there to be in the same state that you found it 5 minutes ago, 1 year ago, 10 years ago. It's constantly wanting to learn. So that's one thing for the brain. Number two is your emotional integrity, the things that I'm not talking about feelings, I'm talking about emotions. Suddenly you have a maturity about handling things. Because you're able to say, with gender neutrality, you're able to say, So all these years I've been reacting this way, not because they caused it, it's because I was willing to encourage it. So in a way, I'm encouraging the gender intolerance because of the way I think. So it is a huge area, and we should actually spend some time talking about this another time, but it's about being a mature person, not a mature adult, but a mature person, to be able to say, wow, I see a different perspective now. I see it differently now. Because most of the time when something irritates us, we just feed it. We just give it more and more and more till we explode like the volcano.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, let me understand this better. Let me understand me better. Let me understand my conditioning better. So it comes back to this whole idea of a choice. I can choose in this moment to respond differently to what that person is doing to me. Or even better, if you're going to be a self-master, is to say, wow, I now realize that I can choose to be different without giving my power away to that circumstance, that gender.
To be different, to react differently.
Well, respond differently. React. Yeah, because respond is so instant that you give to the reaction.
And in order to be able to respond differently, just to catch yourself in that moment,
exactly,
as you are maybe on day three in the challenge of becoming aware, and you're on day three and you see that you are going to go into the same old, same old. Can you share with us what happens up in our brain when we catch ourselves and consciously do things differently?
That is a very good question. So here's a very, very quick neuroscience perspective, rather than taking 6 years to talk about it, because that's the study of neuroscience. What's happening in your brain is when you stop and think and choose to act and then behave differently. So I use the acronym called STAB. So S is for stop, T is for think, A is for act, and B is to behave differently. So every day I say, have I stabbed myself? It's pretty dramatic. To stop my brain from doing what it does. So when you stop and think, it gives the brain a moment to say, at a T intersection, I always go right. But if I stop and choose to go left, the brain says, this is interesting. We've never done this before. Where is this going to lead? And therefore, it becomes a pathway, almost like a tree that branches open into so many possibilities. Whereas before, because you always turned right, there is no branches. There's only one stump. And it's only one way. And your brain has not been conditioned for that. But I choose, through my conditioning of my past, to allow that one stump to control everything I do, which is really sad, because what's sitting on top of your shoulders is about a $10 billion instrument. Because, in fact, it's worth more than $10 billion, because I can't replicate your brain by any computers that we have on the planet today. But the cost of what it does is so brilliant that we don't utilize its vast capabilities. And my challenge, in a way, is to say, let's make an effort to do something different with this thing, because it only needs a moment of choice to stop and think and act. In 1 second, you can say, I choose to go left, not right this time. So every time you come to a choice, make a different choice to what you already, well, to what you always do.
Yeah.
And that's when you grow your brain. Because the brain, you know, it, to me, to explain it very simply, it's like having a million light globes inside. And every time you do the same old thing, it's a very dark brain. Nothing lights up.
I can see that habit in so many ways. And if you look at, if you've been conditioned that you are not, you don't have a voice, you don't matter, and it's better just to be quiet. If you use that as a, as an example, which I often see with people that find it difficult to communicate and share what they are feeling and thinking, just to say, okay, now I am going to say something. So that could be the change for them. Or you see, you've been conditioned to believe that only people with a certain education should say something or step up in have a voice. Again, I have a voice. I'm always with a voice here. But just that you need to have something in order to be able to do something. That's the condition. Let's say in your career, you need to, well, if I'm going to go up the ladder, I want to have more influence in my job. This is what I've been conditioned to believe that I have to have. But you just take that one step forward differently than what you did have done all these other years, will then change your pathways. And
exactly.
New things come out. And that is so good. That is so, so good.
Yeah. To me, every time you face a block, a barrier, a fear, where you should speak up but don't speak up because that's what you always do, whatever it is, if you can say, I will do it differently this time, your beautiful brain lights up like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
It lights up because you have done something different to what you always do. So what you said was perfect, because sometimes it might just, you might just have to say something like this. I don't normally speak, but I want to say this. Give me 30 seconds or 1 minute, but whatever it is, just listen to me. And I just want to put forward another perspective. And then don't worry about what that person says. Don't worry about how they see you. The fact is, you have done something different to what you always do.
Yeah.
And don't be worried about the outcome, because you're not there to change the outcome. You're there to make a suggestion. You're there to make a valid argument that might be something different to what that person or the team or the group or the committee or the meeting is deciding. But at least you've had the courage to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the first step towards lighting up this beautiful brain that you have. And if you want to go forwards from that, it requires a different approach. But at least to me, start with, let's remove the boundaries of the box, which I've always been used to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And actually, in my case, it was absolutely the opposite. Born and raised in a family that everyone has, you're supposed to have an opinion. You're supposed to raise your voice. You're supposed to bring that to the table. And it was a fight. Who can speak? For me, the learning point has been, I don't have to speak all the time.
Yeah.
The learning point for me has been right the opposite.
Yeah.
My biggest learning points have been exactly when I managed to shut down everything that I want to say and go into this place of, I'm just going to listen here.
Yeah.
And when I see my knife feel that the voice is coming up and, oh, you really have to raise something about that, But I meant my thing has been, nah, don't have to. I'm just going to listen. There is something happening here. There's something happening. Yeah. So our conditioning can be in so many different levels, aren't they? But it's possible to change.
And the nice thing about what you've just said is you've actually chosen a different path to what is normal to your family. So in other words, instead of turning right, you've decided to turn left.
Yeah.
And that
sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But at least you've made a choice.
Yeah.
Because you could have been part of the to be heard kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you could be shouting as well to be able to be heard and go, but my opinion is.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Going to that, because you what you're saying, David, is mindfulness, self-awareness and mindfulness. Can you share with me, because in my introduction, I talked about you incorporated mindfulness into your life back in the 1990s, when it was way before it became a common thing, common practice. You were probably part of the woo-woo people at the time, which is one way of seeing how things have changed. But can you share with us, how did that come your way? What, maybe if you can share even strategies, you've already done some, but how we can incorporate more of that into our day-to-day lives. But tell me first the story. How did that come into your life back in the 1990s?
You really are opening me up, Ruta. very, very briefly, I was involved in a very, very bad car accident in which my brother was killed. And my sister and I suffered very, very bad damage. So, for example, I was not supposed to recover from my long-term memory loss. So books I've read, places I've been, people I've known, music I've played, completely all gone, wiped. And I was told I'd never be able to walk again, write again, because of the damage I'd done to my body. And so all of that has caused and still causes a lot of physical pain. So the doctors, whenever I experience pain, they just say, what drug do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know how deep or bad the pain is. So in that space of where I was lying in that hospital bed, I had a choice. Do I accept all these diagnoses and prognoses of what's going to happen to me, or do I actively choose to do something different? And if I believed what all the specialists and the many specialists have told me, I can tell you now that my life would have ended. No problem at all. But I chose to go, you know, right or left when you come to a T intersection. You have to choose to do something differently. So I chose a different way to use my mind, my brain really, because with all this damage, I could have felt sorry for myself. I could have felt, why, God, did you let this happen? Why, universe, did you let this happen? But I chose to say, what if I used my mind to approach this whole trauma in a different way? And that was a big question.
Mm-hmm.
And once I said to myself, yeah, why don't you do it differently? Then comes the actual practicalities of what do you do? So the practicalities are, shut the brain up from all this self-talk of being useless, hopeless, being a victim, being a patient, being someone who has no control, to somebody who says, why don't you find the space in your mind to be still? And by the way, being still for even 5 seconds with that much pain in your entire body was really difficult, but it was a challenge. And I thought, if I can do this for 5 seconds, maybe there is hope. So literally for 5 seconds, you know how short 5 seconds are? I experienced a space of stillness and no pain for 5 seconds. And that made me realize maybe I can extend it for 10 seconds and 30 seconds and 60 seconds. And now the whole time you're fighting yourself to not give in to your own reactions, your own physical reactions, which is agony, pain, discomfort, and all the other thoughts that go through your head. And then I realized, my goodness, this is a power source that every human being has. You don't have to go through all the suffering to find it. And when you find that stillness, in that stillness comes a new way of thinking, a different way of being. So when you could say, no, I will not do it that way, I will do it differently, suddenly there is a level of control over your own mind. And you and I know, and probably everybody who's listening would know, it's that monkey mind, you know, the mind that jumps from one thought to another thought to another thought without stopping for a moment. And mindfulness is not just in that moment. It becomes then, how do I approach everything in a mindful way? So, for example, when I grab my glass of water, I'm mindful of not just drinking, I'm actually present and one with this organic substance that helps my body, that quenches my thirst, that refreshes my mind. Because this one thing, just water, is so important for us to live on this planet. And therefore, I am grateful in this 5 seconds for this water, and I'm aware that I'm grateful as opposed to just saying, oh, thanks. Because that level of awareness then becomes a part of everything you do. I'm aware of you, even though you're thousands of miles away from me, I'm aware of your presence and what it adds to me. I'm aware of every single person, even though I can't see them. I'm aware that they are listening with an attitude of learning, an attitude of being uplifted. And to me, that's what I started to incorporate in all my research, my teaching at universities, in working with companies and organizations. It's about being so fully present that my mind is not chattering away saying, when you ask me a question, I'm not formulating the answer. I'm just so fully with you that I wait for you to finish the question. Whereas most of the time, I have to fight my brain and say, you know, as soon as you ask the question, my mind is already halfway through the answer. That's not being mindful.
No.
That is having my mind filled with rubbish, really, because I'm not listening to Runa. So your question is about why or how? The why is about mindfulness gives you power every time. It gives you so much power. Now, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, David, it doesn't work. Well, let me tell you, it's like going to the gym or going for a walk. You don't get fit by doing 5 minutes of it. It's a constant thing over a period of time. So the how is your mind saying, I don't want to, but your power says you will do this. Mm-hmm. You will practice this.
Yeah.
You will master this. And therefore, gender then becomes no longer a question of, do I see this gender difference? And more importantly, it becomes, let me be mindful of what this person is bringing in this moment in my presence to have this conversation. And let me be mindful enough to almost take away all the things that filter by saying, oh, that's just another woman talking, or, oh, she's having a bad day, or he's not in a good mood today. So all those kinds of thoughts get filtered away when you're mindful. You suddenly listen to the energy of the message or the meaning of the intention of what that person is trying to say.
I love that. And listen to the energy of the message.
Yeah, yeah. And the intention of the meaning.
And the intention.
Because
of
when
the
they're
meaning.
Saying it in an angry way,
yeah,
that's not their intention.
And isn't that, when you say that, listening to the energy of the message, that's that energy that we noticed within each other. We can feel the energy from each other, even though, like you were saying, we're thousands of miles away. I'm in Iceland and you're in Australia. But we can feel when we are in that moment, but we don't notice it when our monkey mind is out there playing its game.
Yeah. Because how often have we thanked a person who got angry with us? Yeah, maybe one or two times, but, you know, we don't make it a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times have you been grateful, or the other person was grateful, that you did not react in an angry way? They will always come back and say, thank you for not getting angry when you could have got angry. So in other words, you chose to be a powerful person in that moment, to be the best self. So that's when, to me, every person could easily be this, but it's a choice, and it's literally less than 1/25th of a second, actually 1/32nd of a second. It's not 1/25th, 1/32nd of a second, because that's how fast your brain, your amygdala fires. So to be able to control that thing and to be able to choose a different path, that's mastery.
Mm.
So when you chose with your family not to shout and be heard, that's mastery.
So the question is, for our audience, is to ask yourself, isn't it? What do I want to master? Who do I want to become?
Yeah. Or let me just master myself.
Let me master myself. Because it's really, at the end of the day, that mastery is going to give us the feeling that we want to feel.
And the most amazing thing about mastery is the balance of mastery is slavery.
Wow.
So in other words, you know, I was going to say centuries ago, but probably not even that long ago, we had slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And slaves did whatever you told them to do. I mean, they were there. They were literally in your presence, in your house,
mm-hmm.
doing whatever you asked them to do. No question.
Mm-hmm.
And in the old days, if a slave questioned you, you could beat them for not obeying you. So same with your mind. How often are we a slave to our mind? because we don't question it. We just do what it tells us to do. We react the same old way because we are a slave to it. But imagine being a master of it. That's the power. And to me, that is so exciting. Because
that is so exciting.
If everyone was not a slave but a master of their mind and making sure that they actually could tell the mind, you will do this, you will not do this. Oh my God, gender would have such a different perspective. Leadership would be so awesome. We could solve the problems of this planet, not even in 10 years.
So going, I can see we're way over the time that we originally planned for this, and I could probably do this double the time. But just going back and accumulating what you're just saying, you're saying we can create a leadership that is beyond genders, where you as an individual get to be in your highest, the highest version of yourself, or the sometimes you say the best, but I like the highest somehow, being thinking of energies is. We can do that by practicing mindfulness, self-awareness, and react to things and people and ourselves and how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive the world around us in a different way, and the world will show us a different outcome. Did I get it right?
Absolutely. Beautiful summary. Beautiful summary. And I can assure you, whether you want it or not, when you do these things that you've just said, people around you will notice what's called presence. Not your words, not your actions, but your presence. And your presence, they'll want to know, what's different about you today? And they'll want to be in your presence without you having to say anything. Because you bring this higher level of beingness, human beingness.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a higher level of you, your special highest energy into this place. And every place you go, people will feel you. And those who have courage will say, I want to have what you're having, to quote When Harry Met Sally movie.
Yeah.
Because that is what I want to feel as well. So what you've just summarized develops your presence, and presence always gives you power. And that's the key about presence. And this power is invisible, but always, a bit like the wind, it's invisible, but it's always felt wherever you go. And sometimes that power is, it can shift things, and other times it just brings pure calmness. And people will feel it. And to me, that is so exciting about reaching for your very higher self. As you said, not your best self, but your very higher self.
Thank you, David, for giving us hope that the world doesn't have to look like it looks like. We can change it.
Just like that, with a thought.
With a thought.
And it starts with me. It starts mm-hmm. with us.
Yeah.
And it starts with the person that we're next going to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Our next conversation. And be mindful, the next conversation could be the conversation you have with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And And one of the things I want to say is fear always takes away your power. So don't let fear dominate any of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Be powerful.
Be powerful. I think that is a beautiful way to end our conversations today. Gosh, can we speak again?
Let's.
I just love this. Thank you so much, David, for your insights.
My pleasure and my honor. And thanks for having me, Runa. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you for your wonderful questions.